Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Howdy, what's happening? How are you today? Coming to you live from the Quicken Loan Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Tiki and Tierney. 3 hours every single day, 3 to 6 Eastern and noon to 3 Pacific. As we set up shop, obviously a lot on the NBA draft. Jameis Winston, not in a good place right now. Neither are the Bucks. What's happening, Teak?
Yeah, no, they're not. Three games for Jameis Winston. We'll get to this at the top of our 4 o'clock Eastern, 1 Pacific hour. Again, I don't get it. Why three games? Maybe for conduct detrimental. That is not reporting that you got arrested or got suspended or got charged or whatever it was that happened with him. Get a game, but three games? For something that could be nothing?
And it could, it actually could become more, I just read.
Yes.
And or it could be,
I don't understand it.
Curtailed a bit as well. But
I don't understand it.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, we'll definitely do that coming up at the top of the next hour. Listen, I don't know how they start the season, but in terms of wins and losses, but I know they're at New Orleans week one. Then they play Philly. Then they play the Steelers.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah, and then they have to go to the Bears in week four, and I think we all think the Bears will be certainly more competitive.
Yeah.
In Chicago, you know, not an easy game. But last night was interesting.
Very.
You know, Woj tipping everybody off, creative as always.
Do you
I
mind
don't know
that?
How the hell he does this.
Do you mind it, though?
I don't mind it at all. Yeah. I think it's fascinating. I think it's funny. Now, I know some teams that might mind it because it impacted their draft equity. It impacted the direction in which they went for the draft here. And, you know, maybe the NBA's got to really address this more vigilantly at some point here. But, you know, my premise is the same as Woj, but and this was from a New York Times article in 2015. He basically said, hey, listen, I get paid to report and break news.
Yep.
If I'm privy to something, and a draft choice is news. And if I know what it is and I know who it is, then I'm going to report it here. So I got no bother. Does that bother you?
No, I don't think so. But I watch it differently. I'm not obsessed with social media while I'm watching the draft. In fact, last night I was sitting on my porch. I sent you guys the picture. I was just chilling, hanging
my
out.
My sunset, too.
It was great.
Yeah,
it was perfect.
A little purple.
Perfect.
Little,
had a little beverage.
A little IPH.
Brooklyn was down there watching her iPad right before she went to bed. It was great just to flow online, not have to watch it and be obsessed with social media. But I had actually a better time having conversations with you guys.
On text.
Yeah, text than I would have sitting and watching television, listening to my Twitter account blow up.
We had a great text exchange. We were going back and forth on a bunch of stuff. I'm still a little bit laid up, so I was just kind of plowed out in my bed watching. I love the draft. I always have. Like,
yeah,
to me,
it's quick. That's why I like NBA.
It's quick. The second round is really quick, and there's a lot of names, obviously. You know, you watch college hoops that you recognize. Maybe unlike the NFL, you get to the middle tiers, offensive lineman from, I don't know, UTEP or Toledo or
it's
Bowling
funny.
Green or whatever.
It's funny you say that because I feel bad for the analyst on NFL draft day. Like,
that's a tough night.
Dude,
that's
man.
A lot of work.
The first day is easy,
right?
It's great because you know all the names and you can have an emotional, strong take on all of them. But then you're like, all right, this is a left guard from, you know, Middle Tennessee.
Good hips.
Good hips.
Good feet. Good reach,
just guessing,
good range,
you have
good
no
motor.
Idea. Fifth round, you're like, yeah, this guy's going to be a pro, maybe.
I know. I'll tell you this, I went back and forth, and we're getting to the Porter stuff really right out of the chute. Probably the most interesting development.
Yeah, definitely.
That and the trade with Trae Young and Doncic, obviously, the Hawks and the Mavericks cutting a deal. But I watched primarily ESPN's coverage, and NBA TV did their own thing. David Griffin, who we've had on the show a bunch, who's terrific.
Yeah, he's great.
And it's just a matter of when he wants to become a GM again, because he really is superb. And Casey Stern was doing that, and I think Casey does a pretty good job. And his role's grown there, and it's good to see. I remember when he first broke in, I remember him locally. Good guy. He's doing pretty well for himself. So, but the one thing that it's a criticism. I don't need to, you know, soften it here. I mean, I really, truly, I told you the story about Chauncey Billups when he was a free agent when Rick Carlisle gave me the phone. I love Chauncey. But he didn't say anything that remotely resembled anything that was critique-worthy of any of the picks in the first. Like, every pick in the first round was a good pick.
Yeah.
Every 30 well, picks, 30 home runs. Come on, Chauncey. You got to be a little critical.
Well, we got to wonder what Chauncey's career goals are. Does he want to get to a front? I mean,
well, remember, there was the whole thing with the Cavaliers where he was thought to.
No, he went and interviewed. Yeah. I mean, we thought they were going to give him the job because it's so, I don't know, convoluted what was happening with the Cavaliers last year at this time. Who was going to fill the role that David Griffin voided, and was it going to be a former player, but they didn't offer him enough money? It was odd how it all went down. But it probably sparked something that he never thought that he would be doing, and now he's trying to play it safe and not criticize anyone or any organization because it could have an impact on his future employment.
Maybe.
But
I mean,
that means he's not doing his job correctly.
Say, yeah, his current job is being a little compromised, a little diluted. Now, listen, I think he's got a great personality. I think he's got a great smile. He's got a great presence. He's cool.
Oh, I agree.
Projects youthfully, even though he's not a kid. He's obviously up on the trends, and he's got a good vibe, but... I thought there's, you know, there especially with young kids, when there are such glaring deficiencies.
No doubt.
Granted, you don't want to bury an 18-year-old kid because he's just starting, but I see nothing wrong with pointing to
definitive deficiencies. Give fair criticism. That's all you got to do. Or give an opinion.
You know what, though, Teak? You know what it tells us? And we shouldn't be surprised by this, much like with Charles and really Charles more than Kenny. Hey, you think Chauncey's really watching the college game?
Yeah, probably.
He's on ESPN every night with Beadle and...
Jalen Rose
and Paul Pierce.
Yeah.
I mean, so what's college basketball
not
is he really watching?
Not a lot. I mean, he sees the highlights. He sees
everybody sees the highlights.
Unless you're watching the games and understand what these kids can really do and what they can't do. It's hard to have a strong opinion about them. But it is interesting to look at the top of this draft. We knew DeAndre Ayton was going to go number one. It was a smart pick, I think, for the Suns out there. Bagley, I asked you yesterday, they got to take Bagley, right? They did the right thing instead of taking a risk on Michael Porter Jr. And then the Luka Doncic, Trae Young thing. It was interesting with me when the trade happened with the Atlanta Hawks and the Dallas Mavericks. I feel like Dallas got what they wanted. They wanted another European potential star. You just slide him right in there with Dirk in his 21st year, and it feels good. The transition, the proverbial torch is being passed. I don't know how good the kid's going to be because I've never seen him play.
I'm supposed to have Dennis Smith.
And Dennis Smith
is pretty talented.
No, I'm talking about Dallas. I'm talking about Dallas Mavericks with Doncic because they traded Trae Young and Doncic. They traded.
Dennis Smith with Dallas.
Yeah, exactly.
So that you can pair them up moving forward. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'm thinking of Dennis Schroeder.
Gotcha.
But anyways, so Trae Young now goes to Atlanta. And here's the interesting thing.
Yeah.
Like, what was the criticism of Trae Young? Like, we said it yesterday, right? He's ball dominant. He takes great shots. Sometimes the open ones he knocks down was his stat that we got yesterday, which was a great stat. But he's going to Atlanta where he's basically going to be put in the exact same situation, right? There's not a ton of talent. They're likely to move Schroeder out of Atlanta now because he's unhappy there.
Yep.
And so Trae Young at 19 years old is going to leave Oklahoma as a guy who was the sole focus for teams' defenses, the sole creator for his offense, and go to Atlanta, where there's not a ton. He's going to be asked to do the same thing. And I don't know if that's the greatest for his individual development. I mean, I don't know what their plan is, and I could just be – but that was my initial thought. When he got picked by – Dallas, you knew the trade was coming.
Yep.
Back to Atlanta.
Thanks to Woj.
Yeah, thanks. Exactly. Thanks to Woj. Back to Atlanta. Yeah. It's like, man, that's not ideal for him. I mean, maybe it is if he can thrive like that.
I just don't love him as a night to night, you know, fixture in the modern NBA.
Yeah.
For the reasons we chronicled yesterday, they're going to just go at him all night. They're going to try to switch. They're going to go pick and roll. They're going to go at him defensively. He's a $170.
Yep.
He's not going to have the green light to get hot when he's 2-for-14 like he had with Kruger in Oklahoma. But I'll tell you this, critiques of his talent aside, or his upside and his erraticness, I actually really understand it from the Hawks' point of view.
Oh yeah,
there's a couple of teams out there that just simply need to get bodies in the house.
Agreed. They need a star,
and Atlanta's one of them.
Yeah, agreed.
And you know, one thing that we all relate to, you know, back in the day, it was like the ferocious dunker, the big man that could rip down the rim. That was exciting. Now it's that little specialized, smallish, you know, worm who just bounces around and throws up 30-foot bombs.
That's really
appealing.
It's true.
I think that's going to be good for the gate in Atlanta.
Yes, you're right. He's going to cross guys up. He's going to make some unbelievable shots. He's going to be exciting. He's going to be, man, did you see what he did last night? But I just don't know if it's great for his development.
Might not be.
To be a young budding star in the NBA.
Well, I tell you this, Teak. And you asked me, you know, if Michael Porter is there for the Knicks at 9,
yep.
do I want him?
Yep.
And I didn't flinch. I said no.
Yeah, this was
too big of a risk.
Yeah, this was in our show yesterday, but then also on our text chain.
Last night
they
leading up to
him,
it.
They got to take him, right?
Nope. And I was adamant, and I do like the Knox pick a lot. I thought that certainly, you know, Bridges, a little safer, maybe a little more, you know what you're getting, but also maybe a bit of a lower ceiling. I trust Perry. And I trust Fizdale to. I really like Knox a lot, but
poor
I tell you,
kid got booed.
But they're idiots.
I just feel bad for him, man. He's a young kid. He's 19 years old.
No,
he's in Brooklyn. It's like, man, this is great.
Fans are clowns.
It's going to be half my home because it's across the, you know, across the river. But he gets booed.
They're clowns.
Of course.
By the way, and I tweeted this. It's one thing that there was one guy. I forget what team he was repping. May have been the Celtics. You know, it's one thing to wear a jersey, you know, to a draft, and that's all. But there was this one guy who had, like, a shooting sleeve on. Like, he had a whole ensemble. Like, they're going to tap him from the crowd and ask him to play horse on stage with silver. Like, what possesses some of these clowns to walk into that venue and act the way they act and, like, wear what they wear? Knicks fans really embarrass themselves.
Please, they always do. Please tell me he was young.
Teak, not young enough to avoid my criticism. If he was 9 years old, I'd be like, that's awesome.
I mean, like,
or if he was 11, I'd be like, that's cool.
Well, even like 16.
Or even 13. Yeah. Okay. He was like 20. He was at least 20. All right, so the Porter stuff, though, right? As we get deeper into this, I'm sitting there, I'm saying, man. And my takeaway yesterday was setting this up, anticipating where he might go. My main point was you cannot, like, if you're a team bereft of talent,
yep.
okay, just completely dormant, where the cupboards are empty, you can't take him with a lottery pick when you have nothing else and you just don't know if that MRI is going to be favorable down the road. You just can't do it. It's reckless, right?
Agreed.
So now you get to the point where, it's not 13 teams because the Clippers at the 2, even though they swapped, obviously. 12 teams pass on this young man. But I'll tell you what. I think of all the situations, he lost money. Denver, they had the ability to roll the dice on this because of their players, whether it's Jokic or Jamal Murray or Gary Harris. I don't know if people realize the Denver Nuggets were sixth in the NBA in offensive points per game.
You're right.
They got a little something cooking
You're
there.
Right.
So he doesn't have to be a savior. I like him for
Agreed.
Denver.
That's why it was no risk for them. That's why the deal made sense. And when you look in, you know, read the backstories about how this deal came about in Denver, they didn't even have him on their board because they thought he'd be long gone. Mm-hmm. And as he started to slip, and especially once he got through New York, they picked up the phone and started calling him, calling his peeps, saying, look, we're going to take you, right? Because we know that there's a risk there, and obviously it's just not ideal for you, but it's a win-win for I think, Porter, because it stopped this slide. I don't know if anybody else would have said, you know, it's worth it, because of your injury history, but for Denver, because they're not in a desperation rebuild type mode.
No, they're not. They're pretty good.
It makes sense.
They're coming.
The only thing you worry about if you're Denver, and this actually may not be a worry of theirs, is that there's some reports that he's not going to play the entirety of the season, that he could miss portion, if not all, of the 2018-19 season. But since they have talent, and again, different than Atlanta, they don't need to put asses in the seats because they're a good squad.
They do okay.
They do okay. Yeah. I mean, it's not ideal, but they do okay.
They do okay.
Good
fans out there.
They can afford, if he has a red shirt or half a red shirt year, to have him on board to get fully healthy before they throw him back out there.
Well, we'll get an answer pretty soon because, you know, is he suiting up for Summer League? I mean, do we anticipate him to play? Summer League's coming up in a few days.
Yeah, agreed. I would say no.
Yeah.
My guess would be no.
Probably say no as well.
But we'll see.
Well, here's Porter post-draft and why he dropped. The stock was it was soaring coming into the season. Then it was depleted. He found his footing, 14th to Denver. Here's Porter.
The teams at the very, very top of the draft told me, you know, last week I was their guy. They were going to take me. And then the hip episode happened. And then doctors got involved and they got scared. And so once one team gets scared, a lot of them get scared. And that's what caused the drop.
He's right.
Yeah. It's usually a reactionary league, not just in terms of trends, but also
copycat.
You know,
yeah.
Sure. But I'll tell you what, you know, is Denver the smart team of the group or are they the dopes? I mean, are they the ones? Now, by the way, the gentleman who made the pick is a Missouri grad.
Yeah.
He went to Missouri.
I know.
You know, from the front office of Denver.
Yeah.
So, You can look at it, maybe his senses were blurred out of sentimentality, or maybe he really truly knows more than others because of the proximity to Porter given his Missouri roots. I don't know.
That's a good point.
But
it's
I'm rooting for the kid. You know,
I am too.
He's a classy kid, rough night. I hope he works out for him.
Look, end of the lottery. He's low risk for Phoenix, as we just, or not for Denver, as we just said. But here's the thing. He was top one or two prospect.
No question.
I mean,
if he
lives up to that,
uh-huh.
This is a steal, and it's not even, it's the steal of all steals.
Or is Greg Oden, and he does nothing.
You're right.
But the difference with Oden is that Oden went first.
Yeah.
That was the Kevin Durant draft.
Right.
You know, so.
He actually went one.
He went one out of Ohio State, and it derailed Portland for years. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're taking 14th overall, it certainly can knock you back a peg, but I don't know that it derails you for the greater part of a decade like it did Portland. I mean, if you swing and miss one, two, three, even top five, and it's tough to recover from that. It's just hard. So I thought last night was fun. I think there's a lot to get into. Certainly want to hear your thoughts on the draft. Who made out well? Steals, bust, all that stuff, surprises. 855-212-4227. And, you know, we also get rumblings. Let's get into this coming up now. LeBron, you know, did LeBron get his guy? Mm-hmm. We both liked Colin Sexton a lot coming out of Alabama. You and I were fans. Not a great shooter, but an uber athlete and tough and can penetrate. Now you're hearing rumblings that this was LeBron's guy, so Cavaliers probably smartly try to, you know, appease LeBron to incentivize him to stay. Does it work? We'll get to that and obviously other items for the draft. Inbounds, out of bounds coming up at 3:40 Eastern, 12:40 Pacific, and Jameis Winston. There's a column in Tampa, a prominent column that said, you got to get rid of him. I mean, meaning you need to cut him today. Too extreme, or are we going down that road? Tiki and Tierney out of Friday, CBS Sports Radio. Okay, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network. As we circle back to the draft, a fun night in the NBA. Get inbounds, out of bounds coming up next segment. Top of the hour, Jameis Winston. Bucks have a real issue. They got a real problem on their hands. And Tiki and I will delve very deeply into that as we get into the Tampa Bay Bucks situation. I like when Santa does this. Let's be honest. There's days where Santa just sleepwalks through the show. I mean, only time when you see him on camera, he's eating, or he's on Facebook, or he's texting his girlfriend, or he's making plans for a bed and breakfast with his girlfriend.
Is she fiance yet?
Not yet.
No, not yet.
No, but we're going to Bermuda soon.
Ooh. Okay. You know what you're doing, Bermuda.
You going to get down on one knee out there or what? Nah, it's too early for that, right? Too early. It's like the only thing that shuts him up. He got marriage. He didn't have anything to say.
He's afraid she's listening.
I know. Generally, Samther is in his own world. But when he comes in to the studio and he continues the debate from the previous segment,
mm-hmm.
I love it. And he came in, and while I think he's totally wrong, his point's interesting. And it was about, you know, again, the whole Porter situation. And if you believe that he's going to be... If you believe he's one of the top two or three talents in the draft,
yeah.
Then why don't you just medically roll the dice and take him? And my response is simple, because I'd rather have a B-plus player than an F player.
Yeah.
That MRI
or no player.
Back,
yeah.
Well, that's what I mean by an F player, an incomplete.
And look, I from experience with friends who have tried to do this at the end of their careers in the NFL,
yep.
they know that they have some effort left, right? They have desire left. But they go see a team's doctor. They know they have, like, an issue. Right?
Absolutely.
Whether it's shoulder, knee, attrition, burn, you know, scrape, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But they can play through it. They know how to play through it. The team that doesn't know them will look at that and say, don't even think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's kind of what was going on with Michael Porter Jr. at the draft. Like, some doctors looked at it and said, don't touch this.
More than some.
Yeah.
Seems like half the league.
Yeah. And it's telling
because
you don't
telling.
See drops like this.
No.
You see a drop in the NBA draft, it's two or three spots,
mm-hmm.
maybe. He's going to be a top two or three pick. Maybe he falls to five or six. You don't see guys be one or two, maybe three, and fall to 14. So, I mean, the damage is real. The redshirt year is probably something that's going to be a reality. For him out in Denver, he's not going to play, especially not early. So when you talk about the summer league, there's no chance he's playing in the summer league. It would be irresponsible for him to play in the summer league, I think, on his part. It's just now a matter of how much patience will Denver have with him until they say this is a lost cause. So it's at least a, you know, like a year and a half. But when do they say this wasn't worth it?
They'll move forward with prudence. And you know, this is where every team's different, and this is why, like, the desperation meter. You know, you think about the bad teams in the NBA. If you trot out Michael Porter on draft night, and then the ensuing conference call and the introductory press conference when he's in your hometown and he's on your podium and you got all the local scribes and the radio people and the TV cameras and he's holding up the team jersey, if that guy's not playing for a couple of months, it's disheartening.
Yep.
It seems almost counterproductive. Yep. That's why the right situation, and I think Denver's right, because, I mean, Jokic is truly a star.
Agreed.
And so is Jamal Murray.
I know.
You know, so I'll tell you one thing I noticed as well last night. Oh, by the way, Andre Iguodala, bad luck tweeting about, I'm not saying he's wrong, by the way, about Doncic's mom. But there's a couple of hot moms in the NBA, by the way. Let's call it for what it is. Hey, Steph Curry's mom's good looking.
We were just talking about this, especially with, like, the draft now. I mean, was Mikal Bridges the first upperclassman? I think he was. Most of them were freshmen. And so think about them. I mean, they're 19 years old.
Mom's 39, 40,
yeah,
41.
Mom is not older than 42 years old.
No, I know. I know.
So.
But Iguodala shouldn't tweet that.
That's a bad look for
a guy in the league.
Dude,
come on. What are you doing, man?
Have a vendetta out against him. Hey. You know what I mean? He's trying to dunk on him, or worse, when he actually plays him and gets wherever he ends up, if he's still with the Warriors next year. We'll see.
But I also noticed that, aside from, and there's a really eclectic collection of talent.
Yeah.
Like, you're starting to see just this complete transformation, and it's a really interesting chapter in the NBA where the big men, you've got to be nimble to step up and switch, defend the pick and roll. You got to pick and pop. You got to hit some jump shoots, some threes. You've got to run the floor. I think we're getting to a point now, which is why I think Ayton is more appealing than some others. He stay on the court at the end of games because he's a decent free throw shooter. Now you're starting to see. You're just starting to see a totally different NBA, so it's very eclectic, and it's very much a recalibration. But what I also see, and I guess I've seen this in other years, but it really jumped out to me last night, after a while you start just tweeting, like when you get to like the middle of the round, you're like, all right, you're watching, but you're not as earnestly. Almost every kid that was drafted, almost every young man that had his name called early, within, I don't know, the first 13, 14, 15 picks, his support staff, mom, dad, family structure, properly insulated, the way they speak, and this isn't a race thing, please relax.
Yeah.
But the way, it just seems like the NBA drafted a lot of good kids from good families last night.
No, you're right. And
Didn't that jump out to you?
It did, and you know, we were talking about this before the show, and I think some of it's because of the polish that comes from young people now in America, really in the world. They're just socially aware early, right? I wasn't socially aware until I got to college and realized that, man, it's not just bigger than Roanoke. You know what I mean?
You should have seen me.
You're from Brooklyn. It's different. But think about kids now growing up. They're just more socially aware. And you talk about the family structure. A lot of the kids that we saw, their fathers were ballers.
That's
like
right.
Basketball players.
Yeah, Jackson won a championship with the Spurs in 99.
Agreed. It's not like mom and dad had a kid from wherever in the world and you know,
he became a prodigy and they disconnected for life.
It's not like that anymore.
No.
You're starting to see more legacies, and so the dads hey son, this is what it's gonna be like.
Yeah.
Right? You're gonna have to be asked a question. You better be stand up. You know, Mikal Bridges is the perfect example also because of how he handled the trade, right? He gets drafted to his hometown.
Oh,
I mean, you can't write that story any better.
No, it was
his
great.
Mom's an executive for the holding company that owns the 76ers. Yeah. I mean, it's unreal, right? And then he gets traded. But what I was most struck by is how he handled it.
Yeah, he was cool.
Right?
Yeah.
He could have been pissed. He could have been, you know, upset. It just, like, this is a business. And it was like this elation it transformed really quickly to, all right, I get it. It's a business.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt it real time on live television.
Well, that's why I said yesterday, and we'll get inbounds, out of bounds coming up here next segment, get the update in a minute from CeeLo. But I said yesterday, the business aspect permeates their lives far earlier now, you know. And listen, there were basketball camps when we were kids.
Yeah.
You know, the Nike and Howard Garfinkel, may rest in peace, the ABC. But it's just far more sophisticated with the awareness of what a sneaker company can do for me. You know, what a social media aspect can do for my to monetize my brand. Yeah. They're in meetings earlier. There's a different business structure and savviness. So I think that they're better equipped when they're dealt the backdoor curveball on draft night, on the most public night of their life and their most intimate night of their life. They're far better equipped because emotionally, if this was 20 years ago, that kid's probably destroyed.
Yeah, you're right. Same. And the example I just used was Mikal Bridges with the 76ers getting traded. But it's the same thing could have been said for Michael Porter, right? How he handled it was, this wherever I get drafted is going to be the best day of my life, right? He could have been blaming, been mad. This doctor threw me under the bus, or this team started putting things out there about me. Perfectly stoic. And that's good to see. I enjoyed that.
Pretty good last night. We both enjoyed it. We'll get inbounds, out of bounds coming up. CeeLo's in house. I haven't seen CeeLo in a while. How's the little guy doing, man? He's getting old, right?
Yeah, he turned 2 last month.
Turned 2?
Yeah, man.
Wow.
Running around like a maniac. I call him Hurricane Jace.
Hurricane Jace.
Keeping me busy, yeah.
Is he whacking a tennis ball, golf ball? What is it? Any physical inclination
yet?
Yeah,
nothing all that coordinated, but he's definitely taking an interest. So.
Nice, man.
Slowly but surely.
God, it feels like yesterday was just born.
That's right.
Oh, my God. Plotting number 2 yet or no?
Maybe not too distant for sure. God willing.
Take advice from this guy. Hey. He's got 19 kids.
Have fun.
He's got a little village.
Have fun practicing.
Yeah.
That's what I say.
That's true. There you go. We'll get the update from CeeLo. Here he is, Chris Lopresti. Inbounds, out of bounds after that. 4 Eastern, 1 Pacific, Jameis Winston. What in the world do the Bucks do with this latest situation? Because it ain't good. CeeLo's update coming at you right now. Okay, Tiki and Tierney here on a busy Friday. CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Get to inbounds, out of bounds in a sec. Some good questions to debate. Gronk is on the menu. A little something about Woj. A little something about super teams. A little something on Ichiro and J.D. Martinez as well. Time to ask the pros, though. We give you a chance to ask us anything you want. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Do it every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Here's how you connect with us. Just tweet us directly at CBS Sports Radio. That's at CBS Sports Radio. And use the hashtag AskThePros. And listen, the better it is, better chance Teek and I actually get to it. And we'll take the most interesting one and we'll answer it before we get out of here in a couple of hours. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. All your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. You know, I would say to Teek during the break here, as much as I'm lukewarm on Trae Young, I really do think the Hawks had a nice infusion of interesting talent and winners and upside. The kid Herter from Maryland could shoot.
Yeah, he can.
He can shoot.
He's a real good shooter. Not a lot of people know about him. And Amari Spellman, who because he's Fletch's cousin. He's big, man.
Yeah.
But he can knock it down,
He can shoot.
And I mean, look, we had some issues early in his career. College career. He was overweight.
Didn't play his first year.
Exactly.
Didn't qualify academically.
Sloppy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but
to lose weight.
There was actually some really good stories last season, especially as they pushed towards the championship, about his transformation. And he's got a great story.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, even though he doesn't necessarily fit in the Hawks' needs right now, I think he can develop into a player. And it's good for – they did well with their draft. That's what happens when you bring a kid, a GM, formerly of the Golden State Warriors, who was the basketball operations VP, to a new team. He brings a different philosophy, and you're starting to see it, man.
Well, it's funny. He brings a different philosophy from what the Hawks deployed, but the same philosophy from Golden State.
Yes.
And it's funny. Listen, Trae Young's not going to be Steph Curry. It's a pipe dream. No. And Herter's not going to be Klay Thompson.
No.
But if you look at the skill set – although Herter's not nearly the defender, Klay Thompson's an elite two-way player, as we know. It's like schematically, like just the blueprint, very similar from what they have at Golden State.
Not going to happen, Hawks fans. Don't think like you got Golden State in the East now, but at least they're thinking about it.
That's right. I was getting a little worried for my boy Fletch. I texted him last night when I saw Amari, when his name came off the board at number 30. I said, attaboy, Fletch. I said, go get that guaranteed loot. Because Amari was one pick away from not getting that 3-year guarantee rookie deal.
You're right.
With the qualifier and all that. So, worked out for everybody. You ready for inbounds, out of bounds, team?
Yeah, let's get to it.
Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right, what's wrong, and who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
All right, here we go, there, partner. Gronk, Rob Gronkowski. He's hinted at retirement this offseason. Nonsense, not happening. But now that Gronk's in camp, he's looking for a new deal, wants to get paid. Jimmy Graham, we know that he set the bar for tight ends at $10 million per season, but some believe that Gronk's numbers as a receiver means he'll be looking to get paid as a top-tier receiver. Inbounds, out of bounds, Gronk should get a contract closer to the $13, $14 million a year range the top-end wideouts get.
No, that's out of bounds. Look, we saw this happen. Jimmy Graham tried to get his franchise number closer to the receiver franchise number a few years ago because he lined up more off the ball than he did in the tackle box. It got shot down. And this would get shot down as well for a couple of reasons. Rob Gronkowski's a tight end. We know he's a tight end. He looks like a tight end. But also, even if the Patriots could buy that logic that he's more like a wide receiver, his numbers are,
yep,
his injury history precludes them from giving him a $14, $15 million per year deal. You get a good deal.
Yep.
More commiserate with what tight ends, maybe top end, but it will not be a wide receiver deal.
Yeah, that's funny. It's not, I agree, it's not going to be, but I disagree. I actually think he's the rare instance that it should be. My answer is inbounds here for a couple of reasons. I don't look at, you know, Gronk's in that unique category. I'm not worried about sheer volume of catches. And I mean, obviously it's part of the equation, yeah, but I don't focus so much directly on, you know, is he a true tight end? Does he flank out? Does he play some receiver? I look at profound impact and just the residual impact that his mere presence has on the other 10 guys standing on the football field. And if I were to, you know, try to come up with an equation monetarily that matches that impact, I don't know, can you find five guys that exceed him? Whether it's Odell Beckham, receivers, Julio Jones, it's Antonio Brown, my answer is no.
It's probably the top three wide receivers in the NFL: Julio Jones, Antonio Brown, DeAndre
Hopkins,
and then a couple of the running backs.
Le'Veon Bell,
maybe David Johnson when he's healthy.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
That's probably it.
But the point is, he's right there.
No, you're right.
He lines up, and the whole
world
opens
up. So give him running
back money. Give him running. Give him fullback money. We'll give him $1.9 million next season.
Which is below market.
Oh, man. All right, there you go.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, this is an interesting one. Media outlets and NBA reporters earlier this week agreed not to spoil and live tweet the NBA picks during the broadcast of the draft. However, as we know, NBA insider Adrian Wojnarowski found clever ways to skirt. Deadspin did a whole great thing on this.
Yeah.
It was really good. Go check it out on Deadspin. As he skirted the system by using synonyms for will select to tip picks like fixated on, he's got a laser on, unlikely to resist, and enamored with. It was really good. Atlanta Hawks GM Travis Schlenk told 95.7 The Game in San Francisco, my old station, shout out, this morning that these tip picks altered their draft strategy.
You know, we had the 19th pick, and, you know, we're talking actually to Milwaukee on the 17th pick, talking about trading up. And it leaked who Milwaukee was going to take. So all of a sudden, we were able to pull back out of that deal and keep a draft pick instead of packaging picks to move up.
Okay, so basically Woj just ruined the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Inbounds, out of bounds. The NBA should discipline ESPN or Woj or both for this blatant disregard for the agreement.
No, because it adds to their entertainment. This is out of bounds. It adds to the entertainment value of the day, of the night, right? It's all about eyes. It's about eyeballs and entertainment.
Some would argue it's about authenticity on draft night.
Whoa,
I mean, really? Eyeballs matter, but if you're a team and you're in a war room, go ahead.
If Woj knows this,
yep,
then clearly someone else, you know, on your team should know this as well, right? This
is unlikely to resist, Mo. I mean, that's just brilliant.
It is.
How does he do all that? I don't know how he does this.
Man, he's the bomber, man.
And he's on TV, too.
I know.
He's actually on TV during the draft.
What is he, like, tweeting with his toes or something?
I don't know what the hell he's doing, but he's got a lockdown on the business, man.
He really does. But it'd be out of bounds for the NBA to try to discipline him. It is what it is. It's the dangers of the GM position.
Uh-huh.
You either believe what you hear or you don't believe what you hear.
And
because Woj is so often right, not all these guys are always right.
I don't think he's ever wrong.
But because Woj is always close to being right,
yeah,
not always right, you kind of got to take it as fact. But he could be wrong, too. You never know.
He could be, and that could be the one thing that derails you
right
forever. So I guess you do have to move forward with a little bit of caution. He's not God.
No.
Even though in the NBA circles, he certainly comes across as God nightly. Here's the thing. The question is, the NBA should discipline ESPN or Woj. All right, so let me look at this. I don't know the answer to this, and it would affect my answer. I'm going to say out of bounds as well. I would not discipline ESPN or Woj. But did Woj agree, okay, or did ESPN agree for him? because that's important to me. Mm. If it was like a...
It's not nuanced, but it's just...
I mean, it's not legally binding, but if ESPN in totality said, all right, listen, we get it. We're partners with the league. We want to do the right thing, blah, blah, blah. We'll make sure our guys don't do anything. They'll keep their info in their back pocket. If Woj didn't consent to that, well, then that's ESPN speaking for Woj, and I got to back up Woj on this.
Yeah.
If Woj blatantly said or signed something or whatever, hey, you know what? I get it. I'm not going to do it. I promise. Then I think it's a little below board. It's a little too coy. You know, trying to be a little bit. And I love Woj. I've known him for years. He's great. I like it. But if he agreed and went back on his word, then I'd have to say not cool. But I would be surprised if that happened based on what he said in the New York Times back in 2015 that I read earlier.
I agree.
All good. We love Woj.
Are you in or are you out?
Okay, in an interview with ESPN during the draft last night, NBA Commissioner Adam Silver said that while he applauds the Warriors for building the best team under the current CBA, the league may look to alter the next CBA to prevent the forming of super teams, including creating a hard salary cap. In or out, it's in the NBA's best interest to prevent the creation of super teams.
I'm going to say inbounds for this one, mainly because I don't like to see stars of certain teams leave to go somewhere else to win a championship. I like the team building aspect of it. More importantly, the fan loyalty building of having your star stay as opposed to bounce and go somewhere else. Paul George is the perfect example here. I think the way you do that is by putting a hard cap, which limits the amount of maxes you can give. So guys are going to go where the money is or be incentivized to stay where the money is most available.
Why does WWE do so well? Why? I mean, it's an open-ended question, but the short answer is because even though it's scripted, the legions of fans still subscribe to an element of it being unscripted, even though they know in the deepest recesses of their minds that it's fixed. And in the NBA, in any sport, you need to maintain at least the perception, the look of an organic element. It's not good for business because, let's face it, certain cities, while the Knicks haven't benefited from this yet, but New York, L.A., Chicago, we know the hot markets. But do young players in their mid-20s, do they want to flock to Memphis? Probably not. Do they want to run to, you know, Utah? Probably not. No. In a predominantly African-American league, most players have said Utah is boring. So Utah's at a competitive disadvantage unless they draft. So I don't like moving around players like chess pieces when it's just so controlled by the players. It's just not – it wasn't like that when we were growing up. You had you name a team that I can name a superstar from any team. Tom Chambers, Phoenix. You name any – anywhere.
Yeah.
And there was a superstar that stayed there for a long time that didn't look to bounce. So I get it. When you get two great teams, play for the championship – it's awesome, but I think everything in between is not good for the rest of the fans.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, Red Sox star J.D. Martinez is banging. He's hitting, 343 over his last nine. He's up to about 315 on the year. He's got the second most home runs in baseball and RBIs as well. And over his past 134 games, about 85% of a season, since being traded to Arizona last year and signing with Boston this year, he's got 51 home runs, 120 ribbies, and he's batting .309. That's in or out. I mean, he's really, man. J.D. Martinez is a top 10 hitter, just hitter, in baseball.
Yeah,
in or out.
I'm going to say inbounds, and it's short term. This could change, obviously, over the because it's cyclical that the baseball it is. But other than Freddie Freeman, Altuve's in there.
There's
a couple of guys who you'd say definitely are above him. But everybody after that, it gets kind of muddled. And because he's playing on, I was going to say the best team, but that would be doing a disservice to our Yankees.
Yeah, easy, buddy.
Like one of the best teams.
Exactly. Not the other way around.
Barely. Yeah. Looking up to us. But one of the best teams in all of baseball, not just the American League. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say this is inbounds because not only is he's bombing, like we just mentioned, or BT just detailed, but he's helping his team win. Mm-hmm. And that's important.
He's a little better than I thought, and I knew he was good, boy.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I actually, you know, we get these in for TV purposes earlier. I hate to do this. I got to change my answer, though. Mm-hmm. My initial answer was inbounds, okay? And I was writing down some. But when you said, I forgot about Freeman.
Yeah.
And I also forgot about Joey Votto. You know, because you got Trout. You got Altuve. For me, you got Jose Ramirez. You got Machado. You got Arenado. You got Lindor. You got Judge. You got Correa when he's right. You got Mookie Betts. I forgot about Freeman. And I'm going to say barely out. I'm going to say barely out. Sorry, TV. Good adjustment. Out of bounds. Barely.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
You know, what he's proven here is he's not just a product of, even though they have the humidors in Arizona now, he's not just a product of that ballpark. I mean, he's fitting nicely with the Green Monster. And I'll tell you.
They got some bangers, man. Him and Mookie Betts.
Oh, my God. Tiki, the loser of the American League East is going to win 100-and-something games, have to play a one-game wild card. Ooh. All right, Jameis Winston, next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.